This is Dr. Orna Gill on the Dr. Orna Gill Show here on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. Thank you for joining us today. This is Dr. Orna Gill talking about LGBTQ plus community in our community. And starting with the incredible and massive Supreme Court decision that extended rights, equal rights in under the law protecting employment for LGBTQ plus individuals in our community. And so we want to acknowledge that as a huge civil rights change and a sociocultural change that now we want to learn more about and want to participate with. We know that this was passed by Supreme Court Justices Gorsuch and Roberts, who are both Supreme Court Justices who are both considered very conservative. Gorsuch was nominated by Donald Trump and Roberts, I believe, by Bush. So we're going to embrace these leaders in our community, and we want to start to extend and understand who we are protecting and how we are integrating, and lives and stories and truths of LGBTQ plus individuals. Today we're going to have on our show Samantha Jane. She identifies as she. We have, welcome to the show, Samantha.
Thank you.
We have Aaron, also identifies as he and him. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We have, joining us soon on the line, we will have the director of the board of the Stonewall Alliance and board chair, Connor Wenzel, who identifies as him, her. And we also have Silas Zelny, the Stonewall Alliance Center coordinator, whose pronouns are they and them. And I have, of course, myself here and the lovely, talented, brilliant Linda Bott, sparkling radio personality.
Hi there.
And entertainer. And
glad to be here.
Pleasure. So today we're going to open up and talk about our stories a little bit. We're going to say what experiences have you gone through to get to this place where we are here today? And we want to talk about language also. We want to talk about terms and identity. We want to talk about the new lexicon. What does it mean when I say trans? Or what does it mean when I say bisexual or non-binary or gender fluid or all these different terms that need to start to become terms that we can use in everyday life.
And understand what they represent.
Exactly. And use them respectfully.
Right.
And embracingly. So that's going to be the first part. And we'll talk about goals of social integration and cultural transformation. And I wanted to mention, you know, this Civil Rights Act, 1964, protected women when it says anyone, you can't discriminate against individual because of their sex. So that was expanded from women to LGBTQ plus community, and Gorsuch said that. He was the one who really spoke to that. I wanted to put that question out to our studio.
And we have Connor on the line as well. Welcome to the show, Connor.
Hi there.
Hi, Connor. And Silas, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello. So please introduce yourselves and tell us what you do, and tell us about your identity, your pronouns, etc. And welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm Connor Wenzel. I'm currently board chair at Stonewall Alliance of Chico.
We need to have you speak up just a little bit, please.
Okay.
Get into your phone there. Thanks.
I'm board chair at Stonewall Alliance of Chico, and I also am facilitator for some of the support groups that we offer down here. I use he, him pronouns, and I have started my transition about 8 years ago, and I do take testosterone, and I've had top surgery, so that's kind of a summation real quick.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Silas?
Hi there. My name is Silas Zilney. I use they, them pronouns. I identify as non-binary, or specifically neither male nor female. I am the center coordinator here at the Stonewall Alliance Center, and I'm also a master's student in the psychological science program at Chico State. I've been working with Stonewall for about a year officially, but I've been interning with them about a year before that. I am also transitioning. I was assigned female at birth, and I have been on testosterone for, it will be exactly 1 year and 3 days from now. And I have my top surgery scheduled for this July, too, so I'm well on my way.
Excellent. And we wanted to bring in, since you are part of an alliance, we wanted to have you comment on the recent Article 7 of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the 6-3 Supreme Court ruling that garnered employment law protections to LGBTQ plus individuals. Tell us what you think that means for members of the community, and how that impacts other goals and facets of other ways in which we integrate.
Well, I mean, it's a wonderful ruling, in my opinion. It's a good start. We're definitely not where we need to be on a federal level for protection, because until we have the Equality Act passed through Senate, there's still a lot of discrimination that's allowed in many states of our country. We're pretty fortunate in California. We do have anti-discrimination laws in place. Employees were already protected here. Mm-hmm. That being said, we still have cases come in where people are discriminated against. They just cannot nuance that it was exactly their gender identity or their sexual orientation that caused that discrimination.
Mm-hmm. And what I wanted to get into, and we're going to talk more about this after the break, I want to talk about the language that we're using, the terms that we assign ourselves and one another, and so that we have clear definitions going into the discussion, and also try to learn how to use those terms respectfully, because we want to participate enlarging this, our making our knowledge base larger and more broad. And before we go into the break, I did want Aaron and Samantha to give us a little, also identify yourselves, how you identify, and just tell us a little bit about yourself, just like Silas and just like Connell did. Aaron?
Yeah, my name's Aaron. I identify with he, him pronouns. I have been going by he, him since I was about 12 years old, but I knew way before then. And, yeah, I think this is very important. I'm really glad to be here.
That's wonderful. Samantha?
I'm Samantha Jane. I've known for decades who I was. I officially started my transition back in the end of 2016. I go by she, her, and I mean, I feel so alive. I'm not depressed like I used to be, mm-hmm. and I'm enjoying life for once.
That's great. And you've been, when did you start, how old were you when you started your transition? If you don't mind my asking.
I was 46. Yes.
Okay. And Silas, what about you? How old were you when you started?
Actually, very recently. For me, I had experienced some early childhood trauma, which didn't really leave me with very much mental real estate to think about my identity. So I didn't really think about that until I was around 21. And then I kind of sat on the idea quietly for a very long time until I felt like, okay, there's, especially with how many resources there are for students here in Chico, it was this moment of like, well, there's literally no financial reason stopping me. I can just do this. So I started about 3 years ago.
Okay. And and how old are you, Erin?
I am 17. I just recently began my testosterone, so I'm very excited to start my transition so early.
Yeah, that's great. Good. So we're going to go into a
commercial break.
Very, very quick commercial break. We hope you all will continue to stay with us on this very important topic.
And callers, hang on the line. We'll be right back.
The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Orchard Nutrition Center has exclusive special offers now through the 4th of July. We carry organic, non-GMO, and clean, healthy products, and we're working to keep our community safe. We offer contactless shopping, social distancing, and we're sanitizing. Our staff, which includes certified nutritionists, take pride in helping you make informed product choices. We look forward to continuing to serve your family for many more years to come. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Welcome back, Reading. This is Dr. Orna Gill. You're listening to the Dr. Orna Gill Show. We're talking about LGBTQ plus equal rights and the Supreme Court decision. We're talking about how to, we want to learn about the terms, the identities, the stories, the ways in which we can envision our society and want to know about resources in the community that we live in, as well as the communities outside of our community if we want to reach out a little further. And we will talk a little bit about the long-term and short-term impacts of this huge employment law, equal rights bill a little later. I wanted to personalize the discussion a little bit more. Samantha, and I want to invite everyone to jump in, okay? Because as a topic, there's no real sort of, let's say, step-by-step way to do it. We're all in this very new kind of environment, a new arena for at least our listeners and a lot of people that we all know and want to be appropriate. So I want to give Samantha Jane, you wanted to add something to your introduction?
Yes. Back in 94 is when I officially started living my life as a woman.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, there's been times where I've had to go back to living in the male persona.
Uh-huh.
But since 94, I've been living my life as a woman.
Mm-hmm. So before we get into the deep into the stories, I wanted to go through the language in terms and if we could be very clear. So I think the best people to go over this would be probably Silas and Connell. What do you think, you guys?
We'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah? Are you up for it?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we would like you to just, if you could
speak up into the phones a little bit better.
Like increase your volume somehow. We want to hear your voices loud and clear.
Thank you.
Yeah. Shout it. Shout it out your mouth. Okay?
Time to be out loud.
Yeah. All right. So tell us about the term. Can you give us just a basic breakdown, for example, cisgender and gay and bisexual and bigender and transgender? Give us some good terms to get us started.
Yeah, so we'll start out with what the majority of the population identify as, so that folks know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the term cisgender, and cis is spelled C-I-S, and it is a Latin derivative meaning aligning with. And so if you are, if you feel like you identify with what the doctors told you when you were born, that they said, hey, based on your genitalia, you're a female, and you feel female, then you identify as cisgender.
Mm-hmm.
And then, whereas for transgender, here at the Stonewall Alliance Center, we use the broadest sense of that term, where it is trans refers to any individual whose gender identity differs from their gender assigned at birth by those doctors.
Mm-hmm.
So like for myself, I don't identify as male or female, but it's still different than what I was born as, thus transgender.
Mm-hmm. And what about gender fluid? I've heard that term before.
So gender fluid would be an individual that may, literally what it says, that there's a fluidity in their identity, and so how they feel about themselves is going to change depending on where they are, the situation that they might be in, the feelings that they're having in the moment.
Mm.
So they can, you know, there's a true fluidity to that experience.
And these changes can happen as often as several times a day, right?
Absolutely.
Or sometimes monthly or less often, so it can be very interesting. And so what about, you stated, Silas, that you are non-binary. Can you explain to us what non-binary is and how that fits under the flag of, or under the, under transgender, or if it does, exactly, how does that fit in?
Yeah, I, so like to give a visual metaphor, if trans was referring to like a larger umbrella term,
mm-hmm.
then beneath trans, another umbrella term would be non-binary, which is just referring to any individual whose gender identity is either a mix of or none of or several kinds of genders.
Mm-hmm.
And then within that, there are more specific terms. So it really just is a microscope of terms.
Mm-hmm.
And so specifically, I identify as agender, meaning neither male nor female.
Hmm.
I'm really comfy with being neither, despite my gender expression kind of floating around in androgyny or kind of whatever the mood fits me.
And how is that different from, like, gender nonconforming?
Right. Gender nonconforming can be, it's really the difference between how your brain categorizes your own identity versus the clothes you put on that day.
Hmm.
And so there are some folks that are gender nonconforming that will identify as cisgender.
Hmm.
So they were assigned female at birth. They're like, yeah, I'm a woman. I totally agree with that concept. But I don't want to fit the social constructs of what women are supposed to wear, or how women are supposed to express themselves. So it's a shift away from the what society's expectation is of that individual.
Wow. Very interesting. Do you guys have anything to add? Or Linda, do you have any questions in terms of these terms at all?
No, but the second term was, what was the second term?
Trans or non-binary?
No, it was the when we, at the top, I was still confused.
The cisgender?
No, the cis I get.
Okay.
Cis is kind of what society is kind of living with right now, right?
It's hetero, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, large so, percentage of the population identifies as cis. The other term is transgender. And you may see that also as trans with an asterisk. And that's that inclusive see more to that identity because there's a lot more than one specific identity under that kind of umbrella. And that is anybody that does not align with what they were assigned at birth.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Good. So now we have a little bit more clarity. And as we continue to use the terms, I think we'll get more used to them and we'll start to have a better feeling and understanding because it is a new language, basically, for a lot of people. And it's one that is going to become a lot more, a larger part of our lexicon, I think, as we continue to grow our society. All right. So I wanted also to talk about the experiences, if you're willing to start to talk about your story and tell us about how you came to be where you are today. If you're willing to start to tell us a little bit about your personal journey through being assigned a gender at birth and then identifying as another gender later on and seeing how did you come to that understanding? How did you self-accept? How did you accept? Come to accept yourself? How did you get other people to accept you? So those are the kind of questions I wanted to start with with our guests. Who wants to go first? Erin.
All right. I have always felt different. Like, I never felt aligned with who I was told I was. I remember being a little kid and, I mean, literally like 4 or 5 years old, and we would play like dolls with my grandparents or with my mom, and I always wanted to be the guy. I never wanted to play with like the girl Barbie, you know, I always wanted to be Ken. And even when we'd play pretend, I was always like the prince or the knight. It was never the princess. And, looking back at that, it was like, because I went through this stage of confusion when I was about, 10, 11 years old, where I was like, this isn't who I'm supposed to be. Like, why do I feel like this? And I didn't know these terms, you know, that we just clarified. I didn't know what any of that was. And I remember Googling it one night. I was on my brand new tablet because I just had my birthday, and I Googled it. And I was like, why do I feel like a guy? And transgender came up, and I was like, it was an instant connection where I was like, this has got to be who I am.
Wow.
And I struggled with that for a little while, but eventually came to terms with it.
That's incredible. And so you were 10 when you learned about the term transgender?
I was 10 and a half, yeah.
10 and a half. Is this something, Silas, when did you learn about this term, and how did you ever, I mean, you're a young person as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you probably heard this sooner than all of us, I think, probably.
Kind of, not in a accepting or celebratory way by any means, but kind of more in, like, comedy and movies that kids probably should not be watching at the age I was, but my parents had them on, of kind of making fun of people who are transgender or drag queens in movies, and I was like, what is that? So I'm kind of interested in that without really being able to vocalize those feelings.
Mm.
Or, like, with my dad showing me Rocky Horror Picture Show when I was like 12, of like, oh, as like a kind of scare tactic thing, but I was like, oh, but this is incredible.
The theatrics of it. That's awesome.
Exactly.
We are going to go to a little commercial break to give ourselves a little break and come right back and talk more about everybody's story. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
This is the Dr. Orna Gill Show here on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, KCNR.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenny.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Welcome back, Reading. This is Dr. Ornegill, Dr. Ornegill's show. You're here listening to us on KCNR 96.5 FM, your talk radio, 1460 AM. Today we're talking with some very, very brilliant and special and brave and amazing and
courageous
individuals. And I'm not just talking about me and Linda, okay? We're talking about LGBTQ plus community and the changes that are happening now in our society, in our laws, and now in our community. We want to bring those voices to everybody to be heard. And so Aaron was talking to us about his understanding of how he came to be who he is and the significance and the joy that he found in the word transgender. Silas was telling us that was just, it was ironically something that was being made fun of that actually was a truth. That
A bell went off.
Yeah. So, Aaron, tell us more about how, what did you do to execute in terms of evolving from or gaining that knowledge and then moving into that realm, and what kind of forces did you have in your path to resist it?
I definitely internalized it as a fear. I was totally afraid, because even though I connected so deeply with it, I was like, this isn't who I'm supposed to be. Like, even though it makes so much sense. So I told all of my friends that I was lesbian because I thought that's the lesser evil of it. And not that any of it's evil, but as a child. And I didn't come really to terms with it until my freshman year of high school when I was 15 years old. And I didn't come out until I was in sophomore. I was 16. And I bought a hoodie online, a sweater that said, I'm a boy. And I wore it to school. And that's how I came out to my peers and my teachers.
Wow.
I definitely was just over the fear at that point. I knew who I was. I was confident in it. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I wanted to be me for once. And so I went through with it.
How did your family and friends and community react? I know we're living in a small town.
Yeah.
And rather religious town. Tell me about what your experience was in that.
For sure. I actually lost quite a few friends through my, social transition. I know a lot of kids just had a hard time understanding what it was, which is why it's so important to bring to light these terms. They just didn't understand, and it was almost like I was the black sheep, you know. I was different from everybody else, and a lot of kids really, there was a period of bullying, self-hatred, internalization of all that.
Mm.
For my family, I am blessed to have a very accepting and amazing mother and a stepfather who also is very accepting. As for the rest of my family, my grandparents and my dad are still coming to terms with it. They're still trying to figure it out. A lot of people just, when you live your life thinking one way, and then suddenly there's this other, you know, term, this difference, it's a struggle for some people, for them to really understand.
And do you understand that they are struggling and accept them for that, or are you angry with them?
For a long time, I was very angry because I was like, hey, this is just who I am. Why can't you just accept me and love me for me? But now, as I'm maturing more, I understand that I even struggled to come to terms with it myself, and that's with me. So I understand having family who struggle with it, and eventually I know that they're going to love and accept me because they're my family.
That's amazing. That's a very big, that's a great amount of trust to have. And I want to stop with your story at that point, if that's okay with you, and move on to another story. I want to hear from another one of our, I like to call them panelists or
one studio guests.
Studio guests or guests on the phone. Samantha, are you willing to start and tell us your story?
Yes. Before I was even born, the doctors told my mom I was supposed to be her daughter. So she treated me that way growing up. And then I knew there was something different with me from a very early age, and it wasn't just how my mom was introducing me or how she treated me or anything like that. And then when I was 13, I came from Florida to come out to California for the summer to be with my dad and see two of my siblings. And I was away from my mom all that summer. And there was an incident where my dad had a girl's purple snowsuit in the closet of the room I was using. And I tried that on, and I know it sounds weird, but I knew from that moment on, without a doubt, this is who I was.
Hmm.
And then when I was 16, I couldn't talk to my family because my oldest brother, he was totally against the LGBTQ community. And so I thought, in order for me to escape the pain I was going through, I tried to commit suicide.
Hmm.
And that was the first of many times that, unfortunately, that I tried to commit suicide.
Hmm.
And by the grace of God, I am still alive today.
Hmm.
And I can honestly say my last suicide attempt was back in late September, early October of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors told me when I woke up in ICU that if two doctors had not gone out to play golf that morning, then I wouldn't be alive. And so that scared me. And so I was going through a lot of stuff. And, yes, I have thought about suicide to, because I wasn't living my authentic self. And then, but I'm realizing now that since I've started the hormones, the testosterone blockers, life is turned around for me. I mean, I've got a wonderful life right now. I've got people in my life that really care about me. I have wonderful doctors that treat me with respect. I'm living in a supportive community. And I couldn't ask for anything more.
That's very positive. Sounds like you went through hell, though, to get to where you are.
I did.
Yeah.
Do you have contact with your family? And if so, have they come to terms with this is your reality and they love you for who you are?
No. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, my sister passed away 8 years ago. My mom passed away in 2004. I remember my dad, when him and I finally had a chance to meet face-to-face, when he found out about me. And I'll never forget the word that he had said to me. He goes, "I wish you had said you were gay instead of wanting that you felt like you were a woman trapped in a man's body." And, I mean, I wish that he had thrown me through a wall or a plate glass window 1,000 times other than saying what he has said to me. And my three surviving brothers right now, we don't have any communication.
That must be very, very hard to live with.
It is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've got an extended family. Two of my nieces in Florida, I'm still in good communication with them. And at least I get to find out how their dad's doing. So.
Well, that's great. You know, I mean, you know, you live your authentic self is what you, yeah.
Yes.
So there's a friend of mine here in Reading, very good friends with her, and her niece, transgendered from a girl, from a woman to a man. Changed and just cut off ties with the family. The family still is at odds, like, how do we get it? We want to talk. We love you. But there's this just, and so I think it's so important, this show, because there's a lot of people who have a lot of going on in their minds about, you know, maybe tradition in how we open our hearts and our minds and our ears and our hearts to listen to what your stories are, because they're amazing. You're all beautiful souls. We
Thank
are
you.
All connected.
I agree. I want to give you a lot of props for all of these very open discussions. And I wanted to invite, after the break, I wanted to probe a little bit more, Samantha. I wanted to ask you, do you feel like where you are right now is enough? Do either one of you feel like where you are, is that your goal? Or you feel like that goal is constantly changing? Or you feel like you are where you are and you're happy where you are?
My goal is constantly changing.
Okay. And where is it going to be?
I know I'm not going to eventually have surgery.
Okay.
I put a deadline on how old I would be if I didn't have surgery by a certain age that I wasn't going to, because the main factor is the body takes that much longer to heal as you get older. And I've had several surgeries in the past, and I know how long it takes my body to heal anyway. So that's the main reason.
And what about you, Aaron?
I know for me, I am definitely not where I want to be. There's still this struggle every day of, you know, presenting. I still sound feminine. There's so much that I want to change about myself. And I know with the right doctors like yourself and the supportive people in my life, I can get to that place. It's just, it takes time.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And it's good that you identify a goal. You also know that it has to be, that it can be a fluid one, goals and gender. But let's come back and talk to Silas and Connell when after the break. I want to hear your stories. All right, we will be right back with the Dr. Orna Gill Show. Thank you.
Get ready for Turtle Bay Exploration Park's exciting new event, Walk for Wildlife. Run or walk with family and friends, virtually share your experience with others, and enjoy a free breakfast, all while supporting your favorite Turtle Bay animal ambassadors. Register today at turtlebay.org.
The Redding Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to reddingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to reddingcivic.com to learn more.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Get ready for Turtle Bay Exploration Park's exciting new event, Walk for Wildlife. Run or walk with family and friends, virtually share your experience with others, and enjoy a free breakfast, all while supporting your favorite Turtle Bay animal ambassadors. Register today at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back, Redding. We're here talking on KCNR 96.5 FM, your talk radio, 1460 AM. We are talking about LGBTQ plus community rights, individual stories, integration, and equality under the law, and in one another's eyes. So during the break, we were asking, Linda asked a question, which I wanted to open up to the panel or the guests, and then I wanted to also talk with Silas and Connell about your stories, if you're willing to tell them, because some people it's too personal, you know. So Linda was asking, what is top surgery? Tell us.
The way that I have defined it in the past and what I know and understand for it to be is essentially for female-to-male transitions, you get either like a double mastectomy, or there's like keyhole surgeries where they pull out some breast tissue or all of the breast tissue to give you a masculine appearing chest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And for female to for male to female, top surgery involves
breast augmentation.
Yeah. Okay. So we got that down. All right. So I want to invite you. We haven't heard that much from you guys yet, and I wanted to get you into the conversation. Are you open to telling us your story?
Yeah, I'll let Connor go first. So my story was I grew up in a more rural area than Reading, and I was fortunate enough to find animals. I think they kind of saved me. I was allowed to express, like we've heard before, I didn't fit in with my classmates that identified female. That's what I was assigned. I wanted to hang out with the boys, but because my appearance was female, I didn't fit in with them like I would like to. And so finding animals allowed me to express the physicality that I felt within myself, and it allowed me to really dress like a boy a lot of times.
Around the animals, or tell me how that allowed you to do it.
Because you're out in the barn getting dirty, you've got to wear jeans all the time, t-shirts, you know, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. For me, that allowed me to be in that masculine space without even really realizing it, because growing up in the 80s and into the 90s, trans wasn't out there in the world. The most that I had heard about it as a young age was, you know, Dirty Harry films where the evil murdering psychopath was identified as a transsexual.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And so that's what you saw in social media, and you were not going to find books about the LGBTQ community in rural Northern California.
Yeah.
So it took me actually until I was almost 40 before I connected with some friends and people that happened to also be into animals, specifically some dairy cattle and making cheese, that I connected with the LGBTQ community and started learning some of the language. And it took me about a year of finding out what transgender identity was, and then that it actually applied to me. It took a little bit of self-thought and processing to say, wow, that's how I feel, and so that language works for me. I was super fortunate, and I fell into a time frame where Chico was starting to get providers that would allow hormone replacement therapy, or HRT, and so I was one of the first patients to walk through that doctor's door to start my testosterone.
Wow.
And so it really, from my awareness to the process, was, you know, I kind of jokingly say it was a 6-month process that took 40 years.
Now, were you ever able to be involved with like, for instance, what I'm thinking about, because we always think about the girls' team and the boys' team, like 4-H. Are you talking about rodeo when you were
No, it was 4-H. I actually showed hunters and jumpers as a high schooler, and a little bit into college. So 4-H, FFA. I was very heavily involved in FFA. It was part of the FFA process then, was that there was a set uniform for males and females, for the boys and the girls. And I loved being able to judge the livestock, the horses, because you got to wear slacks. You didn't have to wear a skirt. But as soon as we went into award ceremony or any indoor activity, then we had to have that skirt and nylons they made you do that. You were out of uniform. You got points off from your appearance. If you
What is 4-H and FFA, you guys?
4-H is a youth organization that's been around for a really long time. It's generally in the rural area, but they also have them in the cities. And they can be anything. It's what you see at the county fairs most often. And they can be arts and crafts, raising livestock, rocketry, wood crafting, all variations of things. And it generally works with the cooperative extension within a state. And so, like UC Davis is is where the core of the educators come from for that program, and each county has that. FFA is, when I was in school, it was Future Farmers of America, and it's a high school geared program that's very similar to 4-H, except it is all livestock, so it would be anything that applied to livestock, fruit trees, ag mechanics, small engines, horse judging, livestock judging, poultry, milk, dairy, all those kinds of things. You can have careers in anything that, that gears towards agriculture. And it's a big leadership development program.
Have you, are you involved now, and do you think that where you are, because it obviously, it sounds like even though you were connecting with who you are now, that it still fed you in many ways. Are you involved in this organization at all now?
Currently, I don't. I'm not helping any youth, but I have been in the, in recent years. I've had a couple folks that I was assisting with dairy goats. It's an interesting area to step into because really most of my work there was when I was identifying female. And so stepping back into that, I took a little bit of reprieve. Somebody asked me to come in and help their kids, and so I had to step into a space as a new person, essentially. If they didn't know me, if I hadn't connected with them, then that was a lot of labor for me to A, decide, do I feel safe enough to have a conversation with this person? Are they going to yell at me? Are they going to, you know, say I, you know, I'm abomination, not want to talk to me? Are they going to out me or tell the whole barnyard, so to speak, or the whole fairgrounds about who I am, and thus increase the lack of safety that I would have if I didn't tell anybody. And so stepping into that space has been really laborious for me. I have been surprised with the support I found with some people. At the same time, I have also felt a sense of alienation, like people are not going to ask me to support in the same way that I they were asking me when I identified female.
That is that's something that is not shocking, but I think do you have any hope that this may be something that will change now that we have a little bit more. At least we have, you know, the Supreme Court is making this, you know, a big deal. We have the Equality Act that was just passed in the House of Representatives and has to go. And do you think this might be a conversation that may start to be safer or more open for you at some point?
If the Equality Act passes through Senate, I think that would help. There's still just that potential for lack of knowledge from people within certain areas of the community. If they don't know or they don't understand what a trans identity is, that they make assumptions based on what they've heard from friends or the news feed that they happen to listen to, you know, then there's no matter what, there's still going to be some judgment and a bias there.
I can't imagine. I really want to expand on this, and we are going to, Connor, because we're going to have another part of this show. This is going to end our first portion of the two-part broadcast on LGBTQ plus equality, rights, integration, and understanding, and embrace in our community in this show. So we will wrap up this show and invite everyone to tune in part two, where we will continue.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.